Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Amy Green about Ohio's haunted Prospect Place estate. You know, with going over the history of the house and all the tragedy that accompanied the families and even, you know, the bad guys and the husband running off and all those things, you know, you just think about everything that happened in that house. It just makes, and looking at it too, it's one of those you would look at it and go, haunted. No doubt about that. But have you had any experiences in the house? Because you spend quite a bit of time there.
I absolutely have. And I've had my own times when I've done investigations. I work for mental health, and my friends and I have known the story and everything for years, and we've done investigations there. Up in the ballroom is probably the most active part of the house. And we were up there one warm May night, and there was no breeze or anything outside. It was so nice and so warm. But we were sitting up there on a bench in the dark, and this coldness kind of came over us left to right, real slow, and then it would disappear. And it was not the breeze. It was not the wind, you know, coming through at all. It was a different feel, you know, it was very cold. So that was my first experience there. But I've had many others. When I first joined the board in 2019, we were doing, you know, what we do now on the weekends. We have the public come in between 12 and 4 on Saturdays and Sundays. And so I was there, and we did have people come and look, and I watched them leave. I know they left. But I was sitting, not doing anything, and there was very clear footsteps in the hallway. And it was kind of like a hard wooden heel going real
like
slow
heavy.
And hitting that hardwood floor out there. And it just kept coming. And, you know, I'm sure my eyes were as big as pancakes because I'm not one that sees things and hears things. And so for that, it was like gold that it stopped right where the doorway is. And, you know, I was just thrilled to have finally heard something. And I got to thinking, though, we have rugs all down those hallways. So I'm like, how'd you make that happen?
Even if for a minute you would have thought, oh, somebody must not have left yet. Or did someone get left behind? Everybody wears soft-soled shoes when they're doing something like that. We're all in tennis shoes or some kind of athletic shoe. You know, you're not wearing your dress shoes for a paranormal investigation.
Absolutely. And it wasn't like a heavy, clumpy sound. I mean, it was very distinctive sounding. You know, maybe a female's shoe or boot, you know.
Interesting. Do you feel kind of afraid? Because I thought it was interesting how you said it kind of made you excited to have an experience. So it's nothing
That's
you're really afraid
broad,
of.
It was broad daylight.
Oh, that helps.
I'm the biggest chicken, okay? I will.
I am too. There. That's why I was so impressed. I was thinking it was like middle of the night.
I've had other experiences. When I do let guests in, sometimes, you know, here in Ohio, it's kind of rainy early in the spring and gets dark still early. And I was letting some guests in, but they hadn't showed up. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to wait in my car because there was just something weird. I couldn't stay in the house. I had the lights on, but, you know, I didn't want to stay anymore.
You know, I get that. I grew up in a house like that, and there was just times that the energy and the feeling of the house would shift that I couldn't be in it. If I was alone, you know, I could, it felt like safety in numbers. So when my siblings were home, it felt different. It never felt safe. But if I was there by myself, I would have to leave. It would be just too intense. And I don't know how to explain that.
People are there, I'm fine, but I don't like being there by myself. Gosh, I've had other experiences too. I heard a big sigh once. It was kind of like a frustrated sigh, a man like that. And, you know, I was with somebody and I met her in the hallway and I said, did you just growl at me? And she's like, no, but I heard it too.
Oh, so, interesting. You both heard it.
Absolutely. And there was another fun time when I was letting other guests in overnight, and October, it gets dark early too. And so I thought, because I'm a big chicken, I'm going to go all the way up into the Belvedere and start turning the lights on all the way down through the house. And by that time, the guests would be there and I could let them in and I could look and act like I knew what I was doing, you know. But they didn't show up. And so I called Jeff and I said, hey, have you heard from these folks yet? And he said, oh, yeah, they canceled. I forgot to tell you. I owe
Thanks
you one.
A lot.
Oh, boy, do you. So I had to go all the way back upstairs to the Belvedere and start turning lights off. I got down to the second floor and was turning lights off. I was in the middle of the hallway when there was this loud bang. And I mean, it sounded like a cannon going off. And it was, there's nothing in the house. The furnaces in the basement, they turn on real quietly. So there was no reason that I would hear that bang. So scared me, and for months I did not want to go back. No. So thankfully it was winter time over the season, you know, and we're closed for the winter, so I could nurse my fear.
And then it went away a little bit by spring. Do you think that George's And I should specify George W. No, let me get it right.
You're right.
George W.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think that George W. Adams, that his, there's so many Georges, that his spirit is still in the house? I was reading somewhere online that it's suspected that he might still be there.
We have had a lot of investigators say that they have made contact with George. Some of them have even been our own volunteers that we have here. So yeah, I do think he is still there. I do think Anna is still there too. And I think she is because, you know, the house was built for her and her sisters, you know, but she had such such tragedy with her husband running off and leaving. I mean, can you imagine the talk of the town? That would have been her.
Oh my gosh, yes. And then she has to figure out a way to pick up the pieces. And back then, getting divorced, that would have been unheard of. And he's long gone.
And I don't know if they ever had him declared dead, because I did see her in another report being referred to as the widow.
Oh, like, interesting.
I don't know if he was ever declared dead.
And maybe she just adopted that because he's not come back.
It would be easier. It would be easier. No questions asked, you know.
Well, and then the deaths with the children, too, and the oldest son. You know, you just look and all of the history and the tragedy that happened within the walls there. How does that not imprint on the house?
Exactly. Baby Florence died also. She was only 6 months old. There was another death. And sometimes in the nursery upstairs, we do hear women crying.
Because I was reading that they say there is a little ghost girl, possibly.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't know if it's folklore, legend, or what, but I have had some investigators say they've made contact with her, so I'm not sure. But I've done the research on everybody, and they all either lived a long life, or else, like the baby, she died at 6 months of age. But the legend says that this is a young girl that fell to her death. There were two main doors that had porticos, and you could go outside and stand on them, you know, and they would have a little railing. And I could see if it was a young girl that may have toppled over that railing and maybe fell and broke her neck or something. But we don't know who that was, if it was. The servants, they may have had children there. Could have been a visiting family member. But I have not found anything in the records that say a little girl fell to her death. But then again, that wouldn't have been much very big news.
And two, you know, if they did help slaves get to freedom and they were a stop on the Underground Railroad, there could have been a little girl with them.
Could have been, because there's a balcony on the servant side that maybe, you know, maybe a child, a small child, fell over that one too.
I mean, and there would be no record of that little girl at all.
No, you know, record.
There's nothing they could have said.
Mm-mm.
You just wonder, you know. And it's interesting because multiple people have picked up on that.
Yes, wow. They have. Even people that live across the street and in the town itself. You know, they've driven by or walked by, and they see a little girl in the window.
And there's no little girl.
Not that I've come across.
I think you would have seen her by now, Amy.
You would think.
What about, and I also read a story about the barn, that there is a bounty hunter possibly haunting the barn.
Possibly. A lot of people get a lot of hits out there, too. What we know is that people do get scratched out there, and there is like a male presence. So the story goes that a bounty hunter came to the property, and he was, you know, looking for escaped slaves to take them back south. And where we're at in Ohio, we're kind of like midway in the middle. And so if you went any farther north, it would have been harder to take slaves back south. You know, it's a longer distance. There were still some renegade kind of bounty hunters that would risk it. And so the story is that he came to the property in search of runaway slaves, and the hands, the farm hands, they didn't like that. And so they took this guy and took him to the barn and had some sort of mock trial, found him guilty of who knows what, and then they hung him. So
right there at the barn.
At the barn. And it's not something that these farm hands would have gone home and said, "Hey, honey, guess what we did tonight?"
Right.
It would have been so hush hush. So my thinking is, how do we know it did exist? You know, how do we know this story? So we don't know for sure if it is, again, legend, folklore, or whether something like that really did happen. But like I said, people have gotten scratched out in the barn. They've felt a very negative presence. But some of the females go in teams and they're like, "Hey, he's very polite to us. He's very gentlemanly."
Interesting, because it definitely feels like a different energy, doesn't it? If people are getting scratched out there.
Yes.
Would you say like the house itself feels, does it have different energy on different days? Maybe some days it does feel happier. Maybe some days it has a sadness about it.
I think so, but I also think different rooms has different energies.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we were cleaning once, about 2 years ago now, and we open up all the windows and the doors in the springtime and do a thorough cleaning. And then our volunteers that help us, we allow them to do an investigation that night. And we have this one who is perceptive. And so she can see images. And so she was in the ballroom talking. And what had happened while we were cleaning was this shirt box that was propped up against the wall in the nursery, that wind coming through down the hall, I mean, it just took that shirt box and, you know, knocked it to the ground, but it fell like on its back and all the glass fell into it.
Oh, that's interesting. And so
when my friend was doing her investigations in the ballroom, again, she's perceptive, and she was asking that question, "Did you like that we cleaned your house today?" And the response she got, she could see an older woman with her fingers stuck in my friend's face saying, "You were too loud." So the next day, she was telling me that, and I showed her a photo of the family, and that second sister, Mary, who lived there her entire life, she identified her, and I didn't give her any direction. I just said, "Hey, you recognize anybody?" And she said, "That's the woman that yelled at me." It's interesting because Anna was the older daughter, but Mary was business one. She's the one who signed all the checks for the account after her father died. So, you know, she was the business, the brains. She even borrowed about $9,000 from a friend down the street, and she had it all paid off by the time that woman passed away, all but like about $95. So they were definitely in dire straits after William left. And so they did what they could, and they managed to hold on to that house.
The fact they managed to hold on to it, a couple women at that time, uh-huh, is quite amazing.
Yes. I absolutely think so, too. So that's why I say there's a lot of energy in there. And so in the ballroom, you know, Mary was making her opinion known. And the upstairs bedroom initially was the wife's bedroom above George's. But then when Anna and William took over, it was her room. Anna has been contacted in that room also. Yeah, I mean it just seems like each room has its own character or feel to it.
That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting that she would have got that response from Mary, because you would think they would be grateful, because as you're telling that story about cleaning the house in the spring, I thought, well, I bet Mr. Adams was very happy about that they're here to keep his house going. But not everybody was happy about it.
Not everybody.
Too loud, you're waking people up.
We've had somebody contact George in the gentleman's parlor downstairs where I told you he did a lot of business. The one investigator put a question out there. Hey, George, how much should I spend for railroad stock? The answer he got was 25.
That's an interesting question to have thought to ask him.
Yeah, I would have never thought that.
But go to where he's at and what he would know about.
Right.
And I wonder if he meant $25, I'm going to guess.
He's giving stock tips here,
you know? What a bad deal. We talked about the paranormal tours that overnights people can book there.
Yes.
You also do, I saw on your Facebook page that you do historical lantern tours, which aren't paranormal. They're historical. But I'm
pure
like,
history.
I think it would also feel a little paranormal like doing that. Even though it's not an investigation, but I could see you would pick up on the activity in the house, I would think.
I think so. Like I said, it's got to feel, to me, it feels like a home, you know, that it was loved, but then, you know, I got spooked and chased out of the house that one time too. But for the most part, I feel comfortable there. But yeah, we did this lantern tour just 2 weeks ago now. We did one at 7, of course it was still light, and then we did one at 9, which then of course it was all dark.
Yeah, that would have a whole different feel.
Whole different feel, especially when you're in the basement and there's no light.
Oh, it'd be dark. You know,
yes, it was definitely dark. And we were all in costume. And so I had made my own Civil War era dress. And I think that was probably more scary than anything else. But anyways.
I'm sure you looked great.
I don't know. But but we had a great time doing it. And let's see. In 2 weekends from now, we have our flashlight tour. And so I will be at that. That one only lasts until midnight. And I'm always surrounded by my friends, so I won't get scared.
Now, if someone wants to, do you rent it out for overnight investigations?
Yes, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
And that, I'm going to guess, probably goes from like now-ish May to when the weather gets cold?
Yes, right before Thanksgiving is like our last open date.
Because it would get very cold there.
It does. We do have two furnaces that keep it pretty comfortable, though. Or at least on the first floor, it's comfortable.
So, and they can get information about the overnight investigations at the website?
Yes. And they can go to the website, pick a date, and see if it's available, and then go from there. There's a minimum of 2 persons per night, so you have to have at least 2. You can't stay by yourself.
I couldn't imagine even 2 people. I would be so scared.
Yep.
I would need a little group of people. I think I maybe if there was 10 of us and we were all stuck together, I might be able to handle it.
Yes.
Now, the website is gwacenter.org for GW Adams Educational Center. And I'll put a link on the show notes so people can click on that super easy. It's a really, there's so much good information on the website.
There is, and so we're just kind of tweaking it a little bit. I have written all that I know about it, and so this coming year I'll be trying to get that finished up and hopefully published for our gift shop. So if anybody's interested, they'll have to come and pick one up.
And you do some self-guided tours there, too. I mean, it's not just all paranormal stuff.
Exactly. On the weekends, it's a self-guided tour, and it's free. You don't have to pay anything.
But donations are gladly accepted.
Always appreciated. we will give you a guided tour if you want for a $5 fee. You know, there's two different ways you could do it. If you want the extra information that, you know, I've talked about tonight, that's great. You know, if you just want to kind of mosey around and see it for yourself, you know, that's fine too. We have information posted on each doorway that tells you what the room was and, you know, what the family used it for.
See, I was in Oregon recently. We toured a historic home and did the self-guided tour. And it was so interesting to me because they had a lot of great information about the house. But it was just so interesting to go in and just do the tour and see where they lived. So I just think it would be a wonderful place just to visit. And, you know, I always say just because it's dark, that doesn't mean the paranormal stuff stops as soon as the sun comes up. You know, you could be doing one of the daytime self-guided tours and have an experience too. You just never know. You don't have any control over that.
Nope. I definitely have had experiences in the daylight. And so, you know, things can happen. Mm-hmm. People come upstairs and, you know, ask us, well, what is this or what is that? And it's like, nobody else is up there but you. So, you know, it can happen.
You're like, I don't know. Well, Amy, thank you so much for taking the deep dive into this amazing historical home. It was really interesting. And just reading the history about it, I'm glad I got to have a conversation with you about it.
Well, thank you for asking. I always enjoy sharing this information. It's just a wonderful part of history. And, you know, I think it's just amazing. So thank you for paying attention and not falling asleep on me.
No, I thought it was really interesting.
But, you know, thank you so much for asking me. I appreciate it so much.
And that wraps up our conversation with Amy Green about the Haunted Prospect Estate. For more information, visit their website at gwacenter.org. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and you'll find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.